this to our young folks specifically is because this is so easy for you to incorporate really at any stage of your prayer life. If you want to go deeper in prayer, this is a great method to use because you can find something or some way within this method to pray differently than how you had before. Now, I'll put this caveat out at the beginning. I am not an expert on this. I don't pretend to be an expert on this. In fact, I stole this. I'll repent later. Stole this from Josh Herring and sermons that he's preached, and he stole it from Brother Mangan. So this is being passed around, but I think it's a great tool and a great method. But there are a lot of different prayer methods out there. There's a lot of different ways and templates that we can use to pray. So what makes this one, I got to stop moving, sorry. What makes this one important? Or what makes this one different? Or why is this? Why does this matter to us? Well, in the Bible, there are 400 verses that deal with the construction of the tabernacle, the materials that are used, and where everything needs to be placed, and how it's going to be constructed, and how everything should be organized. There's over 400 verses that talk about this. Now, that seems like a lot, but when you compare it, you know, how does it compare to everything else? When the Bible talks about creation, it talks about heavens and earth and plants and animals and you and I, creation as a whole, there are less than 200 verses. So over double the amount of verses God talked specifically about this tabernacle and how it was going to be constructed. And to me, that shows where he places importance. It's important how you handle the presence of God. It's important how you seek the throne and the presence of God. And so this is a great method to use for us today. There's a lot of information, and if you haven't got a handout, Brother Blevins is, while he's eating, handing all of that out. There's pens and pencils and everything there. Write down as much as you can, as little as you want, whatever you feel. You're going to take this with you, and if you use all of it, awesome. If you choose to use none of it, then that's up to you as well. This is not something that you have to use, or you're forced to use, or you're not going to make it to heaven. This is just a tool that we can implement to try to get deeper in our walk and our relationship with God. So we'll start out here, and as we go through this, we're going to be talking about how the priest would handle this temple, how he would handle this tabernacle, and the steps that he would go through. The first thing that he would do, starting over here on the right, is he would walk through the gates. That first fill-in is enter into the gates. In Psalm 100, verse 1, it says, "Shout for the joy of the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." And it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise to him. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." You should always start off your prayer with worship and thanksgiving. You should always enter into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. You can't approach God until you praise him. The Bible, when it talks about entering into his gates, it talks about praise and worship. It says he inhabits the praises of his people. He literally comes down and he dwells where there is praise. There's a reason that we do services the way that we do, and we have worship the way that we do in the beginning. It's not because someone just got together and said, "This is a great way to construct a service." It's because this is a format that we can use to pull in the presence of God. That before we get to the preaching of the word, and before we can have it mold and shape our hearts and push us towards God, we've got to make sure that he's there. We've got to give him room so that he can move. And so it's important to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Now, it's interesting, and I think a lot of times we overlook or we undersell the fact that it says enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. So many times, especially when it comes to a service, we walk in and we wait for the atmosphere to be primed, right? We wait for someone to start jumping or the right song to come on. We wait to make sure that the sound level is right because sometimes the sound man likes to push it a little bit too loud. We got to make, not too many amens. We make sure everything is perfect before we can worship. And we let other people, a lot of times, set the atmosphere of praise. But the Bible is specific. We're to enter with. We bring it with us. We enter with praise. I have intention when I walk into the presence of God. When I walk into the house of God, I know I'm walking in to worship. I'm walking in to praise. And it's not predicated on the songs. It's not predicated on who's up on the platform or what the sound level or the decibel level is. None of that makes a difference because God is worthy regardless. And if I just walk in and the presence of God is not there, there is no reason for me to show up. I'm not just coming. I love you all. But we can go spend time somewhere else. I want a move of God when I walk into his presence. And so we're to enter with thanksgiving and enter with praise. This isn't a long step. I mean, you think about this as this priest was walking through the gates. He walked through. It was a quick process. So as you're praying, this is quick. You don't have to spend an hour. You can if you want. You can spend as much or as little time here as you want. But this was a quick process. And the first thing that he came to, the first piece of furniture, was this altar of repentance. This is the biggest piece of furniture that you'll find in the tabernacle. It's 7.5 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.5 feet high. And here, this should be your biggest and most sincere prayer. This should be where you spend the bulk of your time, making sure that everything is out of the way, making sure that all the flesh gets out so that you can allow God to move and shape and mold whatever way he wants to. In Romans 8:5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after spirit, the things of spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." That's a really powerful statement. Those that are in the flesh and work after the flesh, you cannot please God. It's not possible to please God. And so if it's my goal, right, to be a Christian and to be like God, it's my goal to strive for perfection and to strive for holiness, then I've got to make sure that all this flesh is out of the way. I've got to get Bradley out of the way so that I can have more of God in my life, so the Holy Ghost can lead and the Holy Ghost can guide. This isn't just a step to get through. And a lot of times, if you're anything like me when it comes to prayer, we're either pressed for time, trying to make it through. I want to check off a box, and it feels like we've got to go through these steps so that I can check off those boxes. But this is not just a step to get through. This is where your flesh goes to die. You have to deal with your flesh problem here at this step. The priest, when he would walk in, he would take the sacrifice, and it was bloody. It was bruised. It was graphic. He would take this animal and he would lay it on this altar and he would cut it open and let all the blood pour out. This isn't a pleasant time when it comes to this altar, nor is it when it comes to you and I and our repentant heart. This isn't something that you really feel good about. This isn't going to be a step that you're going through with a giant smile on your face because you're taking this part of you, the things that you want, the things that you like, the things that this flesh desires, and I'm putting it in subjection under what God wants. I'm killing this on an altar. Here, you repent of everything that you have done. Everything that you have messed up, everything that has hurt the heart of God, whether it's financially or morally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is that has hurt the heart of God, you repent, you pour it out. And this could be different every single day as you examine yourself. There may be days where you repent of something you did yesterday. There also may be days that you repent of something you did 10 years ago because it came into your mind. Well, you have to make sure that you pour out on this altar of repentance, because you cannot get to the glory of God without repentance. You can't have God fill if there's no vessel to fill. If you're so full of everything that you want and your desires and your agendas, if my life is so full of everywhere that I want to go and everything that I want to do, I don't give God the right, I don't give him the access to do what he wants. Acts 2 and 38, Peter started his message when the crowd was saying, "We understand what we did. We understand that we have crucified the King of Kings. What do we do now?" They're pricked in their heart. And Peter's first words were, "You have to repent." Repentance is an important step. And if you want a greater breakthrough, then you have to give a greater sacrifice. The more flesh that you put on this altar in the beginning, the more glory of God you will get at the end. The more you let go of, the more you open up this vessel, the more God can pour in. You look at Cain and Abel, they both gave sacrifices, right? They both gave a sacrifice to the Lord, but one was more pleasing. That tells me that you can give a sacrifice and it not be enough. I can lay some things on an altar and it not be enough for what God really wants to do. And so we have to make sure we're pouring everything out. After the priest was done this step, he would take those bloody hands and he would walk over to this laver of water. Ephesians 5 and 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. This is where the priest, he would go and he would clean off his hands. That laver of water is the word of God. And so here you get out your Bible and you begin to wash in the word of God. Now this isn't where you're reading your Bible for strength. You're not reading for encouragement. You're reading for reflection. You're taking a look inward, saying, "God, show me if there's things that I missed. I just came away from this altar of repentance, and if there's things that I didn't lay down, if there's still flesh that I need to deal with, then God, show me in your word." It's amazing when you make those kind of prayers how the right scripture will pop out at you. Begin to see the things that God wants to deal with. If you've ever looked into a body of water, you ever leaned over and looked into a pond or looked into a pool, what do you see? Anybody? Reflection. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate you. See your reflection. That's what this priest would see when he walked up to this laver. He'd look down and he would see his reflection there right up until the point where he put his hands in. After he put his hands in the water, the only thing he could see is the blood. It would begin to be washed off. And so as you begin to wash yourself in the word, you start to see less and less of yourself and more of the blood. You ask God to show you everything that you have not repented of, and this is a giant loop. It's what's funny, cool, unique, is that once you see those things, if God reveals that there's still something you need to deal with, you go back to this altar and you do this cycle all over again. You may spend hours. Maybe you don't. Maybe you get it all done the first time. But you may spend hours going back and forth because God keeps showing you things that you have to deal with. An easy step or an easy way to do this is to read a chapter in Proverbs, read a chapter in the New Testament, and read a chapter in the Old Testament. And you're praying, "God, let something in this word stand out to me. If there are things in here that I've got to deal with, let it stand out." And you have yet to even pray really for yourself. You're simply getting yourself out of the way so that you can pray for others. You haven't prayed for a new car. You haven't prayed for God to heal or anything like that. You're praying that you would get out of the way so that you can pray for others, because it's really hard to pray for other people and to care for other people when my flesh is in the way. My flesh cares about myself. And I want to care for people the way God cares. As that priest would continue walking, he would go towards the holy place. And there are five pillars that you see that hold up that curtain there on the holy place. Those represent the names of God. The first one is Wonderful. Here at this pillar, you thank God for all the blessings that he has done, how great God is, how awesome he is. You say things like, God, you've already blessed me. God, you've already given me so much more than I deserve. God, if you never give me another thing, God, if you never heal the way that I want you to, if you never deliver, if you never give me that job, if you never bless me, you've already given me so much more than I deserve. God, you're awesome, you're amazing, you astound me. Say those kind of prayers. This is personal. This is just you and God. You thank him for everything that you have, the clothes on your back, the house that you have, the friends that God has blessed you with. You thank God for who he is and what he has poured out. That next pillar is counselor. And this is where you pray for the counsel of God for absolutely everything. Everything that you can think of, I want the counsel of God in. Even to the smallest detail, I want God to order my steps. And that means, God, what way do I drive to work this morning? I know that I've been driving this for 10 years to the same spot. But do you want me to go a different way? Is there a different path that you want me to take? That sounds so minute, sounds so small. God, what do you want me to eat today? God, who do you want me to call? Who do you want me to text? God, I want you to counsel me in what I'm doing. Because the small details can make the biggest difference. If there are people that God wants me to reach, and I've got to drive a different way to work to get to them, I want to make sure I'm being counseled by God. If there are things that God wants to protect me from, then I've got to make sure I'm being counseled and I'm sensitive to where God wants to lead and guide me. So you pray for his counsel. Here you're praying three specific things. The first is for the wisdom of God, because we all have problems every single day, right? How many of you dealt with silly people today? How many of those silly people are in this room? We have frustrating things that happen every single day. We got people that get on our nerves, people that try our patience. And I want to make sure that I've got the wisdom of God. I don't want to say anything that's out of order. I don't want to say anything that's out of line. I want to make sure that I'm handling my situations, my hurts, my questions, pains, everything with a wise counsel. You pray for the understanding of God, because things don't always happen the way that we think they should. Situations don't always go the way they think they should. We didn't get the promotion that we really feel we deserved. We didn't get the car that we really wanted. Or I put in an offer on the 15th house, and they all keep getting turned down. And I don't understand. So I've got to pray for the understanding of God, because I don't get it a lot of times. I don't know why God does things the way that he does. But I do know that his ways are higher than mine. I know that his will is greater than mine. And there's some things that God does not give me because he's trying to protect me. Because that would kill me if he were to give it to me. So I got to pray for the understanding of God. And the last one is the direction of God. And this is direction in everything. You shouldn't leave your house until you pray for God to order every conversation you have. For him to order every direction, every connection, every appointment that you have, I want to make sure that God is leading it. And if I know about it in advance, I don't want to wait until I'm to that day. I'm going to pray in advance. I want to make sure that I cover it in as much prayer as I can, because I want God's will in my life. I want to make sure that God is counseling me. I want to give him the access and the right to do that. And after you're done praying for yourself, you pray, God, counsel everyone around me. Counsel my friends. Counsel my kids, because they sure don't know the right things to do. I've been teaching a lot of y'all's kids, and they don't know. They don't know what the right way to go is. They don't know up and down, and this world is telling them what's right and what's wrong. They're dealing with crazy situations. They need counsel. They need godly counsel. They need to be led by the Spirit. Pray for your children. Pray for their teachers. Pray for your pastor. Pray for counsel over everyone that you can think of, because we want to be led by God. The next pillar is the mighty God. This is where you pray the name of Jesus would be released all across the world. You pray scriptures like, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's a powerful scripture. I want to make sure the world knows that there is one God. that he is great. He's greatly to be praised. There's not a plethora of different gods for everything you can think of. There is one that sits on the throne. You pray that God would reveal himself to everyone on this earth. And you pray against everything that goes against oneness and against truth. You pray against Islam and Trinitarianism, Hinduism, Buddhism, witchcraft, everything that you can think of that combats the promise and the oneness of God, that combats truth, you pray against. The fourth pillar we see there is the everlasting Father. And I know I'm going quick. If you need any of this afterwards, let me know. But this is a lot of information, and we're barely scratching the surface. There's so much here, and so we're just hitting the highlights tonight. We look at this everlasting Father. You pray for every person that needs a miracle. It's where you pray for every sick person. You pray for people in prisons. Pray for people in hospitals. Pray for the homeless, the handicapped, everyone that you can think of that needs a miracle, because we know a miracle worker. I know a God that's able. I've seen that he is able, and I know he is a good father, and a good father wants good things for his children, right? We've been learning in these Connect classes about what a good father is and that we serve a good father, and if we can be good parents ourselves and if we want good things for our kids, how much more so does God want good things for us? So we want to make sure that we are praying for him to be an everlasting father. This can take 5 minutes, it can take 30. But how can we ever expect God to give us the desires of our heart if we can't pray that he give others the desires of their heart? We look at who Jesus is and what he thought was important. He's talking about the greatest commandments. The first was love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But the second was love your neighbor as yourself. God saw that to be so important. He said, this is the second greatest commandment, to love people just like yourself. If I know that I need God to move in my life, then I've got to love others enough to pray that God would move over their situation. When Jesus was talking to Peter, he said, if you love me, then feed my sheep. So be a servant and love others first. And then that last pillar that we see is the Prince of Peace. The first thing you do here is pray for peace in Israel, which is God's chosen people. The Bible says in Genesis 12 and 3, bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. So if the Bible is specific that God is going to bless those that bless his people, I'm going to go ahead and bless them. All right? That's a pretty easy way to get the blessing and favor of God. I'm going to bless his people. So I pray that God will pour out peace over his chosen people. And then I pray that he would have peace over our lives, over our government. Boy, we need peace in our government, right? Peace in our cities, in our families, our homes, in our minds. Peace in our church. Pray peace over everything and everyone that we can think of. That God would protect us from our enemies. You should pray over your pastor. So there's a lot of battles that your pastor fights on your behalf. It's a lot of things that he faces so that you don't have to. So you pray that God would have peace over your pastor. You'd give him strength to be able to fight those battles. Pray for your family and for their peace. And after you walk through these pillars, you get into the holy place. Now within the holy place, there are three different pieces of furniture. The first is a golden candlestick. There's seven branches on this candlestick, and the priest would pour oil into one of those branches, and they were all hollow, so as he would pour into one, they would all begin to fill up. This is an important step, because you're praying that God would fill you with his Spirit, that he would pour out the Holy Ghost over you, that he would pour fire into you. So you just hopefully emptied everything that you have, right? Emptied everything at an altar of repentance, and now you're asking God to fill up that empty space. God, I don't just want to walk out emptied. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be led by your Spirit. So you're praying it would fill all the hollow spots, everything that you just cleared out. Until this was done, that room was completely dark. And until you are filled with the Holy Ghost, until you walk out, there is a dark world that is waiting to see a light. So you're praying, God, make me a light. Let the Holy Ghost, let your Spirit shine so bright in me that even in the midst of a dark world, even in the midst of a job where it doesn't seem like they care about you, they don't care about holiness and righteousness, God, I want them to see me and see you through me. This is where you pray for the Holy Ghost to consume you and for God to light your pathway. God, I want you to saturate me with your Spirit. The next thing you would find is a table of showbread. And here, you're going to get out your Bible again. This time, you are reading for strength. This time, you're reading for encouragement. You're reading to build yourself up. So you're going to read scripture and verses that strengthen you. Things like, no weapon formed against me or the enemy shall prosper. That's something that builds me up. That's something that gives me strength because I know no matter what I'm going in and facing today, there is nothing. There's no weapon formed against me that can prosper. Scriptures like, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Or like Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. It's not that I'm strong. It's not that I have the ability. It's not that I'm able, but the Lord is my strength. Scripture like, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That helps me walking into my day knowing that I can do anything through God. A lot of time we try to put all of this on ourselves. I try to walk into my day and make it through and hope that it all works out in the end. But if I put my hope and my trust and if I rely on the strength of God, then there's nothing that can combat. There's nothing that compares to the God that you serve. See, a lot of times we feel like we're fighting a losing battle because we are the ones fighting. Just me? Feels like a lot of times I walk into situations and I don't feel like there's any way for me to win. But it's because I'm fighting on my own strength and my own ability. But if we rely on God, His strength is sufficient. He's able. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength. It's hard to stay discouraged when you listen and you read the promises of God. It's hard to walk out of your prayer closet defeated when you know the God that you serve. It's something that we need to understand, myself included. Because a lot of times we face these battles. We go through things and it feels like storms are raging all around us and we don't know how we're going to fight and how we're going to win. But it is not your battle to win. It's not your victory that's on the line. It's God's. And He is able. He is sufficient. I don't know what you're facing right now. I don't know what you're going through. But God's already won the victory. He's able. He's able. That table or that showbread was held up by a table. And at this point, you pray for every person that holds up the Word of God. You pray for the ministry. You pray for preachers. You pray for evangelists. First and foremost, you pray for your pastor. Because this man will stand in judgment for you one day. Every word that he's taught from this pulpit, every counsel that he's given you, he's going to have to give an account. And so you pray for your pastor that holds up that word of God. You pray that he stands in truth. Right? Don't ever want to defer or alter from what the word of God says. And so you pray that your pastor would stand on this firm foundation. You pray for other ministry, evangelists, young ministers. Please, please pray for young ministers. We don't know what we're doing. Amen. Pray for other pastors. Pray for missionaries. You pray that the Word of God would be spread all across this globe. That there is not a person. This is such precious truth. I'm so thankful and blessed for the heritage that I have, that I never had to understand or live my life in a way that I did not know what truth was, but there are people that do not know this gospel. And I may not be the one that God has called to go overseas and be a missionary and reach people that don't know this word, but God has called somebody. So I pray for those people that God would give them strength. They're giving up so much to go take this gospel. Pray that God would use them, that He would bless them, that God would pour out His Spirit and He would pour out His truth over every country, every continent on this globe. The next thing that you will come to is an altar of incense. The priest here took four things. It's four different materials or ingredients that he would take at this altar. The first is stacte. Now again, I teach young people, so I've got to write all this stuff down for our young folks, because then I get like 100 questions on how to spell all this. Stacte. We'll just guess how to spell it. Stacte is sap that comes from a tree. This can grow all year around, and it can grow on any part of the tree. So this represents constant, anytime, anywhere worship. This means regardless of what your situation is, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what's going on in your life, that you have consistent worship. No matter where you are, no matter what stage you're in, that I'm going to make sure I'm pouring out to God consistently, anywhere, anytime. I'm going to give Him all my praise. The next ingredient that priest would pour in was onycha. This comes from the bottom of the Red Sea on either a plant or a fish. So this is the deep part of your worship. This is where you take it a step further than what you did the last time. I go a little bit deeper in my worship. This is where you get real with God. God knows everything about you. He knows your deepest desires. He knows your deepest fears. He knows everything that you deal with, and so you get real with God. You pour out everything that you have. You get into this deep relationship, deep part of your worship. The next thing that he would pour in is galbanum. This is sap that only grows on the inside of the tree. You can't get to this unless the tree is broken. This is the broken part of your worship. You know those things that you don't let anyone else see? Those situations that you think no one else knows? You can be strong for everybody else, but God really knows the truth. This is where you can be broken before God. Because He's not looking for you to be complete. If you're a complete vessel, then you can't really be molded into what God wants you to be. Right? I want to be broken clay in the potter's hands so that He can mold, so that He can shape me the way that He wants, because there may be some things in me that I think are okay. I like the way this is. I like the way that I am in this regard, but that's not what God wants for your life. And so I've got to make sure that I'm broken before Him. I want Him to build me up. I don't want Him to maneuver the pieces that I give Him access to. I want to break everything before God. And the last ingredient was frankincense. If you remember when Jesus was born, this is one of the things that the wise men brought: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is presented to a child early on in their life. This represents the early part of your worship. Now, if you're anything like me, this part hurts, because I don't like waking up early. Is anyone an early person? I don't understand any of you. I don't get it. I don't want to wake up early. I'm not pleasant when I wake up. Me and Andre, we have an understanding. Like for the first 30 minutes in the morning, we don't talk. It's just not. I don't like waking up early. But it's important for you to start your day with praise, worship, and prayer. Why does this matter? It's just my opinion, okay? You do what you want. But I don't want to pray over things that have already happened. It's really hard for me to pray God's counsel over the day I already had. It's a whole lot easier for me before I ever take a step out of my house, before I ever have a conversation with somebody, that I pray God would lead and He would counsel me. Because I know that I'm going to deal with some stupid people today. I know that there's going to be people that frustrate me. I know that things aren't going to go my way. I know that maybe I'm going to get some questions that someone needs an answer to, that God wants me to help somebody. And if I'm not led by the Spirit, then I'm operating in my flesh, and that is not good enough. You don't want Bradley's answers. They're not good enough. But if God is able to work through me, if I'm being led and I have the wisdom of God, then I can operate the way that He wants. So you take this, all of these together, and you have this early morning, broken, deep, consistent worship. Consistency is a problem, right? Maybe not all of you. Consistency is a problem, okay? So it's important to pair all of these together. Make sure that you are consistent in your prayer, consistent in your walk with God. Now God starts to smell. This is this altar of incense. So He starts to smell everything that you have poured out. This is where you make real prayers. God, I'll worship You all my life. You ever said that? You ever prayed that? You ever think about what that really means? God, I'll worship all my life. God, I'll give You everything. Think about what that really means. That if God came down and said, you got to give up everything because I want you to go be a missionary. Think about what that really means. God, I want you to break me, even though there's pieces that I like. There's things that I like the way they are. God, I want you to break me. You can have my future. You can have my family. This is something that is difficult for us to understand. The words are easy, but to really understand the weight is hard. When Andre and I had Easton, we were talking about going and dedicating him. That was a big conversation that we had because I didn't want to walk in. I get this from Uncle Josh, this crying thing. I didn't want to walk in and just have some ceremony. I didn't want to walk in and just check off some box. I really wanted to understand what I was doing, that I was giving this blessing, this child back to God. And if that meant He took him tomorrow, that he was God's, that He blessed me with him. Right. It's really easy to say the words. It's really hard to understand and to feel what you're praying. That's why this is the deep part of your worship. This is why this is the broken part of your worship, because you're being real with God. You do three things here. You're going to pray, you're going to worship, and you're going to intercede. And this is where you're pouring everything that you have out. As that priest would go through, he would come to the veil. And at this veil, that priest would take off all of his priestly garments. He would take off that breastplate. He would take off his robes, and he would just be left with this white robe, because you cannot enter into the presence of God with your title. Your title doesn't matter to God. Your position doesn't matter to God. You have to walk in with humility, understanding that He is the King of Kings, that He is the ruler over my life, not me. And if I walk in with any other mindset and any other attitude, you're going to miss what God has. If the priest did this wrong, if he didn't walk in the right way, if he didn't fulfill these steps the right way, that priest would be struck down and die. The point where they would wear bells around them, and if those bells ever stopped ringing, they had a rope tied to them, and people would pull them out because they could not enter into the presence of God. You have to make sure you do this the right way. Don't walk in with your title. Walk in humbly into the presence of God. That veil was held up by four posts, and those represent the gospel. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And here you pray for everything that Jesus did while he was on earth. All those awesome stories that we get to read. You pray and thank God for raising the dead. You thank him for healing the sick and casting out devils. You pray and you thank God for dying on the cross. See, the cool thing about this is God showed us that he was able. He showed us that he can do it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And so if he was able to heal the sick, then he is able to heal the sick. If he was able to raise the dead, then he is able to raise the dead. And so it gives me hope. It gives me faith. I'm so thankful that God put it down in his word because it gives me hope for my day. It gives me hope for my situation. I know that he is able to do it. And so you thank God for everything he did in those gospels. You thank him for dying on a cross and paying a price that we could not pay. As Christians, we overlook this a lot of times. We get so accustomed and so used to this. When it comes to every Easter, we seem to forget the intensity and understand the importance of what God did. He paid a price I could not pay. That if it was not for Jesus, if it wasn't for the fact that he loved me so much, I would have no shot at heaven. Because the wages of sin are death. And so my promise is death. But Jesus came in and he paid a price that I couldn't pay so that my promise is life. That's something that we should be thankful for every single day. I don't want to get complacent and forget about what he's done because he's been so good. If he never does another thing, that was enough. That was more than I could ever deserve and more than I could ever do on my own. And so I'm thankful that he died on a cross. And after you've done all of this, you've gone through all these steps, then you enter into the Holy of Holies. And if the priest had done it correctly, he was permitted to enter into this holy place. First thing he would do is he would put blood on that mercy seat. That sacrifice that he killed, that blood that was shed, he would take it and he would put it on the mercy seat. That's why it's important what you do in the beginning. It's important the repentance that you pour out in the beginning because you pour it out here. This is where you tell God you're thankful for everything that he has forgiven you of. All those things, all those mess ups that I have, those things that I continue to go back to, even though I know they're wrong. Those times when I make mistakes and I fail. I'm so thankful that I serve a loving, forgiving God. I know that he just took that sin. He just took all that brokenness and he's able to forgive. So I want to praise him here. I want to tell him how grateful I am. I serve a God that's able. If you have a lot of sacrifice in the beginning, then there should be a lot of thanks here. You should be thankful for a whole lot if you had a lot to repent of. And if you didn't repent of anything, then maybe you don't have a lot to be thankful for here. But when I look back at what God has done for me, when I think about who I was, I think about the path that I was on, now he's turned me around, he's blessed me, I've got a lot to be thankful for. So you lay that blood on the altar, and now you have officially done the will of God. You've ministered to and for everyone else, and now God can minister to you. So you've spent this whole time praying for others, praying for you to be used for others. But now it is time for you to pray for yourself. This is the fun part. This is where you pray for the things that you desire. Inside that Ark of the Covenant, there was three things, and this is how we'll close tonight. The first was a pot of manna, and now you pray for God's provision over your life. You remember the pot of manna, that when the Israelites were free from bondage, that God would provide for them, dropping manna from the sky? This is where you pray for God's provision over your life. This is where you pray for that new car you've really been wanting. If Andrea were doing this, and she'd be praying for that brand new minivan, the really cool push-button doors. It's where you pray for that job that you've really been wanting, for that new house, for people to stop getting rid of all my offers on these houses. This is where you pray for the things that you've really been desiring. God, help me with my finances. God, help me with that job that I've been struggling with. You know that this isn't where I want to be, and you know the position that I want to be in. And so you pray and ask God to give you the desires of your heart And if you pray God's way, if you do things God's way, then God is able to give you what you want. Remember, he's a good father. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to bless his children. But we've got to do things his way. The next thing that you'll see inside of that ark is the Ten Commandments. And here you pray for God's protection. You pray that God would protect you. He would protect your family. Everyone that you know and love. Because there is an adversary that is seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. It's his desire not only to hurt you, not only to keep you away from God, but he wants to kill you. And so I pray that God would protect me. Pray that God would protect my kids. Because they're walking into a world that is dark. They're walking into a world that is broken and immoral. And I want to make sure that I've got the protection and favor of God on their life. At a point where they're not able to pray for themselves, I'm going to make sure they are covered in prayer. Amen. And even when they get to a point where they should be able to, I'm going to be like Job. And I'm going to start offering up sacrifice. I'm going to pray on their behalf just in case they didn't do it on their own. Because I want to make sure that my family is protected. When you're in the Holy of Holies, there's not resistance here. There are no adversaries here. You are in the presence of God. Amen. And so everything you say, it's right here between you and God. He hears every word that you're praying. So be bold with your prayer. Don't hold anything back. The last thing that you'll see inside of that ark is Aaron's rod. And here is where you'll pray for miracles, signs, and wonders. We want to see miracles and signs and wonders. I've made this prayer in my whole life. God, I want to see those things that I've read about. Right. And I want to see people with broken limbs and arms. I want to see them just come forth. I want to see the dead raised. I want to see miracles for myself. God, if you did it, I know you can do it. And so, God, let me see it. Now, the dangerous part of that prayer is he might use you to do it. So be careful what you pray. Your words matter. And there are things that we pray a lot of times because they sound really good. We're not really understanding the weight of what we're saying. But I believe God has miracles for us. I believe God's got miracles and signs and wonders that he wants to show us. And so I'm praying here that God would show us. You pray it in authority. You pray it in boldness. And you openly tell God what you want to see. There may be things that you've prayed for years and years and you haven't seen. But be bold here. Because we serve a miracle working God. He is able. And so you pray boldly. And this is just me, but I think it's important to bookend everything. So we entered into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. I think it's important at the end of all of this to give God thanksgiving and praise, to worship him for everything that I've just prayed, to thank him that he is going to walk with me today, to thank him that my miracle is on its way. I'm going to praise him because I know he's going to do what he promised he would do. So we give him glory, we give him honor, we give him worship. I don't know if you got anything out of it. If it's just a tidbit, if it's just a piece, great. If it's the whole thing, great. I know we've got some seasoned saints, and I know y'all know how to pray. The great thing about this method is that you can utilize it at any stage of your walk with God. You can always go deeper. We can always get closer to God. And that's my goal. I want to get closer to God every single day. I think it's probably a good idea. We spend a night talking about prayer. Let's all stand together and let's close out this night in prayer. Can you do that? Lord, we worship your name, Jesus. God, I thank you for this night. God, I thank you for every person that you have brought into your presence. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us. God, that whatever part of this lesson stood out, God, I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our eyes, God, to hear your word. God, I want to get closer to you every single day. I want to know you more. I want to go deeper in my relationship with you, God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us. God, that you would give us boldness. God, I pray you would give us authority. God, I pray, Lord, that you would counsel and you would guide and you would lead us every single day. God, we thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for being here. Selfish request. Next week, next Wednesday, the youth group will be traveling. We're going to be in St. Louis for North American Youth Congress. So if y'all could keep us in prayer over those travels. This is a really cool event and something that we walk into with expectation. And a lot of times what we see in that kind of atmosphere is lives are changed. The Holy Ghost is poured out. We see miracles and signs and wonders. So pray for us. Pray for these young folks and believe they're going to come back on fire for God. And they're going to turn their city upside down. Amen. Thank you all. God bless you.